Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Right, I'm scared.
You scared?
Yeah.
What about?
Who the surprise guest is? Will I know who they are?
As in, do you know them?
No. Do I know them or will I have heard of them?
Oh, you would have seen them. Oh, fucking hell. Oh yeah, you know them.
Oh, don't do this because my heart is racing. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm so. You've got me on edge. But right, okay. Is it right? Are we okay for me to leave a tiny bit early?
Looks like it's gonna have to be the way.
Oh no! Don't say it like that. I'm scared. You've really got me on edge.
Bear with.
My heart is going 100 miles an hour.
So this, yeah. So for those of you who don't know, obviously no one knows. But we got a guest on today. And I thought I'd get a guest on for John. And John's getting off after 45 minutes.
No, I could do an hour. I could do an hour 55 minutes. Easy.
Easy?
Yeah, easy. Whew. Can you, go on, is this a good time to drop some hints and clues?
Oh, not give me any hint. I mean...
For the audio, for the listeners, come on.
No. So what are you doing tonight? You're playing six-a-side.
Yeah, big game. We're top of the league. We're playing second. We're equal on points at the moment.
Oh, right. Oh, it is a big game then. You probably want to leave early, much earlier, don't you?
No. We've agreed for the pod that I'll be starting on the bench, so...
Oh, where do you normally play?
I play, I'm a pretty versatile player. I play anywhere through the middle, basically. Left, right, or in the centre.
So literally every...
Oh, I'm really scared. Should I be scared?
I don't know.
Stop laughing! Yeah. Don't laugh! Well, whoever it is fashionably late, so they've got to be big time.
I asked them if they could get here at 7:05. Who do you think it is?
I don't know.
Have a guess.
I don't know. No, I don't want a guess. I only, you know. I feel sick. I actually feel sick. Oh my God. No. No.
My camera's broken. Let me get it on. I haven't done this for ages.
On,
I'm sorry.
There's no way. Anton, what is going on?
Hello.
Oh my Jesus, what is going
Hello.
On?
Hello, hello, guys.
Hello.
I feel like I'm back at college.
So, John, do you want to explain who our guests are?
Yeah, so we have Jack Gill and Todd Scrace, who were both my lecturers at college. I'm glad you find this funny.
I'm going to go through all your school, all your family. This is just going to be the John Beer pod.
I did well. I think I did well at college.
So you taught John?
Both did. Yeah, both did.
Thanks for coming on the pod, by the way.
Thanks for having us.
Which college was this?
Exeter College. Yeah.
This is really, really weird dynamic going on here right now.
And what were you teaching, John?
So John was on, he did a futsal course. So basically
A futsal course?
Yeah.
Is that a little football?
Yeah, it's an indoor, basically like
indoor football.
Essentially.
You did a course on that?
Yeah. So,
well, that was on the side.
Go on, John, you explain. What course were you on?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the title of it, but it was like a level 3 BTEC, and then on the side.
What, in futsal?
Not in futsal. I don't know what. These two should be more clued up on the course than I am.
Steady.
So essentially, it's a level 3 BTEC, but we have a link with the club. So it was run through run in partnership with Exeter City. So basically, it was a normal BTEC with us, and then the addition, the kind of bolt on. Some of our students do like an academy, or some of our students do other things. And John's particular course was basically that he was able to represent Exeter City and the college playing futsal.
Did you like him?
Brilliant student.
Yes, that's great report. I take that.
Was he? Was he cheeky?
I really enjoyed teaching John.
Yeah.
He was cheeky. Was he? He was unique. You knew there was something a little bit special about him, a little bit different, I think.
God, this is like this is your life.
Yeah, I don't want it to be too like. Yeah, I don't want it to be too like this is your life, really. But John was great. He was. I remember teaching him athlete's lifestyle at Exwick. John, do you remember that? And we were in the unit. You sort of explore elite sport and different case studies. And John had a kind of encyclopedic knowledge of football. So he was great. But he was that archetypal student who would just put his hand up and want to answer every single question. He's not always the favourite of all the other students, but he's great to have in your group.
I imagine he's a pain in the fucking arse.
I thought at college, like our group was a little bit quiet, so I felt like sometimes to like spark conversation and like debate, which I think is quite healthy, you need to sometimes be the person to like put your hand up first, and often I'd say something probably stupid, and then everyone else would feel comfortable saying something because it couldn't be as stupid as what I just said.
Yeah, that is 100% true.
There was a bit of that, but it was also, I think you elevated the lessons as well. You were like a teaching assistant, and a bit like on this podcast, really, when you came on and elevated it and gave the Exeter City knowledge to it.
Disagree, but fair enough.
That was definitely John's job in the group.
Where'd you get your confidence from, John?
I don't know. I guess it was easier. Like if I was doing like A levels, I would have probably not been the same. But because I felt like comfortable in the topic area, sort of seemed.
Did he have ladies, like girls hanging off his?
Well, the course is an all. Well, it was at the time. It's an all boys course. So we did not get to see John in that. that social area, but
yeah,
I don't know, I'm not sure.
Yeah. How are you feeling, John?
This is actually really nice. My mum was saying that the two, like my mum works with the in the same building as these two, so they always talk about the pod and they always talk about it. It was always a plan to get them on, but I didn't realise that.
We want to give our apologies slightly, because I bumped into Esty last week and she was like, so on the pod next week? And I was like, yeah. And then she's like, John's been telling me there's a special guest. It's going to be Ricky Gervais. And
then, oh, yeah. John, is that what you thought?
I didn't think.
So I do apologise, John. It's, you know.
This is better than Ricky Gervais.
Oh, thank you.
I was better.
Oh no, is that what you thought, John? Well, it might be one day.
It could have been anyone.
Yeah. Well, literally anyone. Anyone.
Were you a bit in shock when you realised who it was?
Yeah, as soon as I saw Jack's profile picture, I thought, oh, here we go. I didn't realise there was such glowing reviews. I thought I was a bit of an annoying bugger in college, really.
Oh, you're a bit, yeah.
Not at all. No,
if you ask Neil Saunders, he'll probably say that I was annoyed because he had to see me more than most people.
I'm sure there were people in the group, John, that were maybe on more on the annoying side.
So how many years did you teach John for?
Two. Well,
two.
He was there for 2 years. I only taught him in his second year, so 2019, I think that is. 2018, 2019.
So then, John, you went off to uni, is that right? After this college?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did all right. Did all right in my grades.
What'd you get?
I was, yeah. Well, I couldn't have done any better, really. It's not without blowing my own trumpet. What?
Straight distinctions, was it?
But yeah. Yeah, three distinctions, yeah.
Bloody hell.
The distinction star.
Which is the equivalent to three A's, technically.
Yeah,
three
yeah.
Three A's.
Was that when we just dished them out because it was COVID, or was it before?
No, like no, it. No. I had to work for mine.
Yeah. Did you?
I had to actually work for mine, yeah.
I remember having you for rules and regs. That's what I had you for, which was basically...
Yeah, rules and regulations and scoring systems. I still remember it now.
Well, okay, from a teacher point of view, you might have felt the same, hopefully not, but mundane, it was literally just learning about some rules, and then John had to officiate a football game, or a futsal game, shall I say. I chose to do futsal because I knew they all were interested in it. And there was this one clip, I was just watching it earlier just to look back, and there's this one clip where you're in goal, and some of your classmates are having to officiate, and they give you a bit of a warning, like, oh, John, don't do that, and you literally just turn around to one of them and go, shut up, you mug. And and bearing in mind,
I'm getting that now.
Bearing in mind, this is on video. I've got to send it off to like the exam board to be modified. And as soon as that's happened, it's just completely ruined the whole video.
Yeah. Oh, no, we took all the practical lessons really seriously.
You can't do that at Sky, John. No. You're going to have to change your whole attitude.
I don't think I'm going to be calling anyone at Sky a mug.
All right, you will. Give it a month. You know.
Oh, this is I don't really know what's going on, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's really thrown me off my evening.
So are you all Exeter fans?
Yeah,
right,
which is weird, right? Because at Exeter College there's loads of Plymouth fan lecturers.
Yeah, totally.
Are there?
Well maybe not. Yeah, I say loads, but I remember I got a story about Tony. Remember when
it's
we beat
Tony?
He's another lecturer, Plymouth fan.
Right,
who taught me for the 2 years. And that year we beat him 4-0 at home. Right. And we all wore Exeter City tops in the next day, first thing to his lesson.
He did tell us about that.
Brilliant. Yeah.
When was that? Hard. That was like 3 years ago this year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Month. Yeah, it was like one of the last games before COVID. I think we played a few more games that season and it all got cancelled.
Mental. 4-0.
Yeah. The thing is, Tony's really nice. So if he's not listening.
I think all Plymouth fans are lovely, the ones I've met.
Yeah,
lovely people.
The one you had on here was a nice bloke, wasn't he?
Yeah,
yeah, like really. I want a wanker on here. I really want a wanker. Really.
And Josh Widdicombe was really nice.
Josh
as well.
Was
wasn't
nice.
He was annoyingly nice. Michael. I really wanted him to be. I can't speak on behalf.
Huh?
You travelled on the M12.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's nice. I really would like someone just to rough the podcast up.
No, it's not going to happen.
No, I don't think it is. Is it?
I'm too composed, I think.
You mug.
Yeah, yeah, true. Can't really say it, yeah.
Oh, do you know, it's a bit of a sidestep, but when you said about all the football stopping because of COVID, God, what was that like at Exeter? We haven't really spoken about that. How many games into the season had we... When was it? It was sort of February, March time, wasn't it?
I remember the game before was like Walsall away, wasn't it?
Did you feel it coming at that point?
I went to that game. I went to Walsall away and we lost 3-1.
Matt Taylor. Do you remember Matt Taylor running up the touchline to the line?
There was an offside that was extremely, extremely dubious. Ryan Bowman. Yeah. And basically, we knew that it was going to be like cut off. So if we'd won that game, we would have been in the top three. And then the next game was Plymouth. The next game was Plymouth away. I think that's right.
I was in college. I think it might have been one of Jack's lectures in the IT suite when everything got... They cancelled like 5 games originally and then they cancelled the rest of the season.
And then we missed out on goal difference, I think, or a point to Plymouth.
Yeah, but it went to points per game, didn't it? And we missed out.
Really?
Yeah.
So it could have been a League One about 2 years.
Oh, years I earlier. Didn't realise. I didn't realise Exeter were doing so well that season.
Well,
we did well in quite a few seasons before this one. We've been quite successful in recent years.
But just haven't... Right, okay.
Not at Wembley.
Yeah.
I remember that the first game I watched on TV with Man United were playing, and I think... Had they taken... I don't know if they added the sort of the fake crowd noises, but oh, my God, it was so bleak. Yeah.
They were so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you go and watch Exeter every week?
Yeah, give or take, when I'm not playing or, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because Jack, you play at a pretty good level, don't you?
I still play local football, so I don't get along to Exeter City as much as I'd like. I think I'm one of a group of people. There's quite a lot of us. We all support Exeter, but we can't get along as much. We always look at the result straight after our game. I've been to three games this season. I went to the Wickham game.
That's a good game.
3-1, great game. I thought the stand was really good. I sat in your stand, in the Stansfield stand, and hadn't sat in it before. The concourse is great. The concourse behind the stand and the bar and everything's like a championship. Mm. Oh, it's not. I think it's good. You should have seen it before.
Well,
the fire hazard. We went to watch the women's game against Bournemouth in the Cup with a record attendance, 2,600. That was great. It's great to see how the women's team's grown. And then Todd and I went to an under-18s game, didn't we, Todd? Yep. Went to the Newport FA Cup game, which was exciting. They were 4-0 up at half-time and just won 4-3. So I get to some of the midweek games, really.
Yeah.
Todd, all through college, I never realised you were a City fan.
That's insulting.
I only ever saw you in the college gear. True. And then
I spoke to all of you about the fact I supported them, but maybe not. Maybe not in enough.
Yeah, I probably wasn't listening. But yeah.
Did you enjoy college, John?
Yeah, loved it. And this is no disrespect to Todd, but I always used to say to my mum that Jack Gill was my favourite lecturer.
I'll take that.
Ooh.
Well, that's because I had Jack for longer, to be fair. And I think Todd, yours was like when you were lecturing me, it was like one of your first years, wasn't
it? Yeah, I was pretty much, literally first 6 months of properly teaching. So
don't have to justify it. It's fine.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't have brought that up either, though.
All the other lecturers seemed a bit like, I don't know. Yeah. Jack was just always really calm, chilled out, relaxed.
Good report, Jack.
So
what's it like walking to a class the first time you've got to teach these oiks? Is it?
It's really nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking.
It must be. Yeah, is it like a little performance you have to put on?
Every lesson's a performance.
Yeah, the start of the year especially. Once you get to learn their names, it's all right. But it doesn't matter how many years you do it. The start of the year is always nerve-wracking. First lesson with any group.
Must be.
Yeah.
See, I never thought of that as a student. I'd always thought, these lot do it every year. They just come in standard. I didn't realise teachers got nerves.
100%. It's not, well, it's just that, you know, you guys have been off for 6 weeks. We go back a bit earlier, but it's that build up of like, right, I've got a new group. Well, loads of new groups. What are they going to do for me? And like I say,
that's the thing. You've got to do it for like several classes. We've just got to sit with like four new lecturers. We've got to meet one new person. You've got to meet like 50, 60
people. Yeah, remember the names. Every year. It's tough. Tough going, John.
When you all say goodbye, like, did you miss him or not think twice about him? Or
no, genuinely, I said to Jack earlier, like, he's one of those students that sometimes you would just look at and laugh. Not doing anything in particular, not doing anything special, but just a student that you could just watch and be like, this guy is subtly hilarious. So I didn't miss him. I'm not going to say I missed him. I didn't. But
no.
But no, like, be thinking weird. Back to the group.
John, you were well loved. This must make you feel lovely.
Well, I didn't realise it at the time.
No.
I don't think, is that normal? Should I have known that I was, I guess not.
No, but you're not allowed to have favourites.
Yeah.
No.
We can't have favourites. But yeah, me and Todd, we're big Exeter City fans, so we've been listening to the podcast since the start. It was absolutely brilliant when it started up. And we knew you and Joe anyway. So it's really exciting. And to hear you come in and talk about Exeter City and be a fan of the club was just brilliant. And then John joined it and we really liked that, didn't we? Because obviously we know John anyway.
Must have been strange for you when John joined it.
It was great. Yeah. Added a level of interest to it. Just really enjoyed it. So it's really, thanks for having us on. Really happy to come on.
Absolute pleasure.
Felt guilty about it. Felt like we have the worst guests ever. And I looked back and thought, oh no, there'll be some rubbish ones. And I looked back and actually the guests were really good. I was like, oh, they're all good episodes actually. So I felt
this might be the best episode ever. Yeah, this is one of the greats. Yeah, this is going to go down in history. You've literally got the platform to talk about anything I did, anything I ever.
Did you ever see him get off with anyone?
What? Why are you so fixated on this?
Already. We've been through this. We did not do anything.
What is that? Why is that the first thing your mind turns to?
What about smoking? Is he a smoker?
No, that's a dirty habit, that.
Not on the Futsal Academy, anyway, in an Exeter City.
No.
Not at all.
Pisshead?
That was one thing that was always emphasised, wasn't it? Like when you had your kit on, you were sort of like representing not only the college, but like the club. And that I took that quite...
Did you play football for Exeter College?
Not football, I played futsal, which was like the indoor football.
Okay.
And then we used to travel up to Cardiff every other Wednesday to play.
We used to go in... I remember walking into the hall and like looking in the team, and I didn't actually realise at the time that they wore the Exeter City kit. Like, so they basically wear like Exeter City kit. And I look around and John's just in this bright yellow goalkeeping kit, like fully kitted up. And I was like, he's rocking it. Absolutely rocking it. And
you're like, you're the goalie, John. You're not the goalie now, are you?
No. I played in goal for basically, I think Jack and Todd will agree, our year for futsal was unbelievable. We had some right players, absolute, like, I'm just trying to think, like Cody Skinner, Joe Grigg, Mally, those kinds of players. They're all like unbelievable. Muzzy, Jack Vickery. I'd like that. Like our age group was really good. So like I sort of, to play in the best team, I had to sort of go and go.
Jay Stansfield. What happened? Was he always attached to a Premiership? Was he attached to Exeter and then went to Fulham? So did he go to college?
Didn't quite get there. So they come to college at 16. So right. Jay signed for Fulham just before he turned 16. But all the other, all the other scholars do come to college. We have the under 18s with us. Right. So we have like Ollie Watkins with us. And
did you?
Yeah, he's probably the best one. I was gutted he didn't get in the England squad. I know he hasn't been involved for a little while, but I desperately wanted him to get in.
I watched him play against United. He's so strong, isn't he? He's big and powerful.
That's another thing. You must have taught some right players throughout the years.
Yeah, those guys all come to college, and I did a bit of work for the academy. I didn't like directly coach, but I've been in sessions and coached people like Jack Sparks. I did a session with Ethan Ampadu. I was involved in a session or two with Sonny Cox now, who's one of the great young players at the club. Manfi Sharp came to college and did futsal. I coached Manfi for a year. She is great. So yeah.
When you witness these people playing, were they just stand out, just how good they were?
Yeah, they were. All of those were best in their age group. All pretty much played up an age group and were standout players, yeah. And everyone knew about them all the way through.
Yeah. So when I watch Jack Sparks on a Saturday, I think your technique is so good, like controlling the ball and his crossing and
Jack will be able to say as well. But like when Ethan was going on trial to all these different Premier League teams, Jack Sparks was always going with him, wasn't he? They were always going together to trial at Premier League teams.
Oh, really?
So he was always like really highly rated.
Right, but he never got picked up by a Premier side.
Not in the end, I don't think. No. Well, obviously not. But his dad was quite adamant on him. I remember. Me and my dad. I don't know why we went to watch the under 18s play in like a cup final at Derby's training ground. We got on this like dodgy minibus. We just went up with a few of like the parents of the players, and like Jack Sparks, his dad was on the minibus, and I remember him saying like, "Oh, well, he might not have been on the minibus, but we saw him there," and he said something about like, "Oh, he's not going anywhere." Like. He's going to keep his head down and work hard, sort of thing.
But yeah, he was. Yeah, his like you say, his crossing on the move is brilliant. Exeter, his set pieces. His ball striking from a young age was a joke. Just brilliant at shooting from. And he scored a couple of good ones for City, but he's hit the bar a few times. He's been unlucky not to score a few more, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He almost scored an absolute worldie on his debut at Swindon away.
Yeah, hit the woodwork, didn't he? And
hit the woodwork,
scored that great goal the outside of his left last season, I think.
Yeah. Was that 4-3, or was it?
Yeah, the Harrogate game. That was unbelievable. Yeah.
David, I don't want to tempt fate, but last time I went to League One, basically we had a really good first season. and then all our best players got taken, and then we got relegated. So I'm really hoping that doesn't happen again this time around.
Do you know what? John's been so fucking miserable. I'm sort of waiting for it, to be honest. The whole thing is depressing.
You have to learn to look on the pessimistic side.
You have
or
to
at
learn
least on the
to look on the pessimistic side. Right.
David, you may have years of experience on me in life, but in football, unfortunately, you don't. And as soon as you start supporting Exeter City, you have to understand that there's more bad times than good times.
So if we go up, then what?
Well, I'll give you a medal because we're not going up.
We're 3 points off the playoffs.
But yeah, if we'd lost on Saturday, we would have been 15th. But we are doing ifs and buts. I know, and every bloody week, ifs and buts.
And yet we're still 3 points.
The key difference is, though, I think this year is we've got an ex-manager who's definitely after a few of our players, like 100%.
Yeah, sniffing about 100%. Like it's nobody's business.
How
do you know he's sniffing?
Just got an idea, David. Got an inkling.
He won't be the only one sniffing around players like Giovanni Brown and Archie Collins and Sam Nombe. There'll be other teams, but obviously he knows them, doesn't he? So he's got that advantage already.
Are you saying that they might go in January?
Yeah.
You know something, don't you? Look
no,
at
I
all
don't.
You three.
I have no idea. No, I just think, it's likely.
Well, even if they're there or thereabouts with the playoffs, why wouldn't you stay to see if you can do it all again? Money.
It's a great argument.
Yeah.
But money.
It's a great argument, but that's like an idealistic view, isn't it? Like that's the romantic side of football, which I think is all but dead and buried in this day and age, unfortunately.
That's from a City fan point.
Money talk.
Honestly, so depressing.
But we will get a bit of money. That's the only thing.
How many players do you reckon will, if you had to put some money on it, how many players are we going to lose?
Show of hands, I reckon. John, what do you think?
Yeah, all right.
Are we talking January or the end of the season?
Yeah, we'll go January. I reckon in January we'll lose. Guaranteed to lose two. Easily two.
Easily maybe two. A third. God, it's pessimistic.
And that's if we manage to keep Stano as well, because Stano's been unbelievable. So they might recall him and put him out higher as well, the Championship side. So
how good has he been, though? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We're fucked.
I just see him that much. Yeah. How can you come to that conclusion?
Well, who are we losing? So who do you reckon we'll lose?
Well, I think, personally, we're almost guaranteed to lose Giovanni in January.
Hang on a minute, we're almost guaranteed. What? Why? What have you heard?
Well, he's set up, his goals contributions for the season are 17. It's literally the best in the division. That doesn't go. He was unbelievable in League Two, but you can sort of get away with that, especially if you finish runners up, because a lot of teams try and poach from your winners of the league. But if you go and play like that again in the division higher, play better than you did in the division below. Sorry, sir, you're gone.
Yeah, you're almost getting pleasure out of this. It's very peculiar.
Pleasure? I'm not getting any pleasure. I'm just speaking facts. And then the other one that I think is a guaranteed goner is Archie Collins. He's been this season, like by far and away, our best player.
Yeah. My third would be either Cech or Josh Key as well. But
so the entire spine of the team gone.
Our defence.
Yeah.
Jack Sparks could even
get the only advantage we have with Cech is that he's been injured.
Yeah, true.
And he hasn't played enough. If he played this whole half of a season and he played like he did last season, he'd be gone. If Alex played like he did the whole of last season for half of this season, he'd probably be gone.
So any speculation?
Especially Alex, especially because teams, every single person I speak to that's involved with other football clubs goes, you have hit the jackpot with a tall, fast, left-footed centre-half. It's like the dream. These are like one in a million.
And he can lob.
Who can actually distribute the ball properly.
Yeah. And he can throw it a long way.
Yeah, he's got a long throw.
Alex
is out of all of them, Alex is the biggest asset. He's the one that he goes under the radar a bit because he's a centre-half.
Not with me.
Well, no, we know not with you.
He gets his own song.
Big time.
Is that what started it all? I remember at the end of
first
the
player I saw, first game, I was just like, look at him. Wow.
At the end of the season where we got promoted, he was absolutely battered in the Heritage Lounge and he came up to me and went, tell David I like the song.
Oh, it's all coming out.
He came up to me in the stands. I was just I don't know, writing some bollocks on my phone, looked up. Hello. And I suddenly lost my confidence. We were just sort of staring at one another, not knowing what to say. Just.
Well, you told me that how you spoke to Harry Kite's dad, didn't you?
Yeah.
And that was a weird interaction, because for about 4 or 5 months, you've been banging on about how good his son's legs are.
But you were banging on about how good his mum's legs are.
Well, that's what he told me when I spoke to him. His mum wasn't happy about that.
Can we just keep talking about the players we might lose? I'm really enjoying
the speculation.
I think
That's probably it, isn't it?
Yeah. One of the things was the recruitment of the last couple of years has been amazing. If you think we've got Giovanni Brown, Sam Nombe, Tim Dieng, who had an amazing season last season, whoever's signing these players who weren't that great at other clubs, they've been so good for us, haven't they?
Yeah.
Plus, obviously, the academy players we bring through. I saw a stat that in our starting teams, we average 5.5 players from the academy each game. And obviously, Blackman's net, not from the academy. So that's such a big percentage of the team through the academy system, plus these really good players we've signed. So, yeah, basically, David, it's by far the best time ever to be an Exeter City fan. And in the past, it's been pretty dire, to be honest. But at the moment, it's amazing.
The thing that Jack mentions there about players that may not have been good at other clubs and is a really good one, because, and we'll probably get him on at some point, but Marcus Flitcroft, who's the head of recruitment.
I met him at Plymouth.
Yeah, he's unbelievable at his job, literally incredible.
So what does he do? What's his job? What's his role?
Well, his
head of job recruitment.
He's got a lot. So he's head of recruitment, head analyst. He does all sorts. He does a lot.
So did he help with the purchase of those Giovanni Brown, Tim Dieng, and
he would have been in charge. So he will find them, and then he'll say to Matt Taylor, "This is who I think we should get." And then Matt Taylor will then do his own little bit of looking in, and he'll go, "Yeah, let's do it." And then Marcus is in charge of negotiating the deals. But yeah, just on the point I was talking about, one of the categories that they look at, because we don't have money to go out and buy players, is to look at players who have done well before the last club they were at, try a sort of like money ball type approach, who've maybe fallen out of love with their manager or the team or the area that they're in, and try pinch them for little or nothing, and then try and get the best out of what they were like before, which is what, you know, a great example is Nicky Law, who these two will remember. He couldn't even get in the squad at Bradford. Everyone was like, he's a crab. He passes sideways, this, that, the other. And he was unbelievable for us. One of the best players I've ever seen play at SJP.
And where did he go?
Well, he's gone to play in America now. He was older player. But that's the sort of approach. Same with Gary Caldwell. Is a manager with something to prove. So let's hope he can prove
it. I'm just imagining our spine being ripped out the side in February.
Scary thought.
Isn't it?
But you have to remember, you have to have trust and faith in the recruitment team, and Gary will have players that he wants to bring in.
So we can sell them as well. What's the point of any of this?
Well, let's cancel the pod then.
As soon as they get good, you go and get rid of them.
That's how it goes, David. That's how it goes here. Model. You can't get too attached to anyone at this
point. I wish I'd been told in the first couple of months.
Yeah, it's
the guy, Chris, who I sit next to, I think it was Chris that said, but he just said, or someone said, that this is by far and away the best that Exeter have ever been, and that regularly years is just hoofing up like long ball teams and just losing and just a load of old shite.
That sounds like a very typical football fan opinion.
I might have put words in his mouth, but
To be fair, it's a good time, 100% good time. But that comes from, I don't know if you know about like when we were basically about a minute away from liquidation. And
do you know what? No, do you know the Michael Jackson David Blaine
story? Yeah, so I was there when he came with his umbrella with Uri Geller.
I was there.
Right, so can you just explain the lead up to that, and then the fallout?
I'm pretty certain, but basically we were like literally days away from like administration, and Jack probably, I was quite young, so Jack probably knows, and he can fact check any of this, but we were like days away from liquidation, and Uri Geller went on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and he was in the Australian jungle in his Exeter City top, right? He gave us a bit of exposure. And then he was friends with Michael Jackson. It's an extremely weird link, actually. He was
such a weird conversation.
David, you can Google it while Todd's
it's
talking.
100%
true. Uri Geller
and,
with an Exeter.
So then he somehow got involved in like the, not the running of the club, but you know, he was one of the kind of people that was going, and this attracted a bit of publicity. And then there was this whole kind of day, publicity day, where he brought Michael Jackson to the ground.
Right, hang on a minute. Why did he get involved in the first place?
Uri Geller, I don't really know. I don't know that. I don't actually know why or how he ever became an Exeter City fan. Maybe like you, just moved down to the area and chose a club. And
he was co-chairman.
Co-chairman. At the time.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And yeah, so
co-chairman.
My memory of it was I went as well. I thought he might sing or something. But Michael Jackson came and David Blaine came. And I went to the ground.
David Blaine.
What?
Yeah, I think it's David. Yeah, so they both came. So I thought there was going to be some illusion or a song or something. But there wasn't. They stood on the pitch and Michael Jackson made a strange speech where he told all the fans to hold hands. So I held hands with this big bloke that I stood next to.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Why weren't we doing the pod back then?
Yeah. He's having you all on.
Oh, it'd be amazing to do that back then.
And then literally about 2 weeks later, we then magically drew.
Hang on. Don't jump ahead of the holding hands.
There's more. the only other thing I remember about Uri Geller was we got relegated when he was around at the club down to the conference. And he put crystals behind the goal to help us score because we were going for a spell of not scoring, and we lost 5-0.
Yeah, those bloody crystals, honestly.
What? What? Who allowed him to put crystals behind the goal?
The other co-chairman, whoever the other co-chairman was, he allowed it.
And yet, so why Michael, hang on, John. Michael Jackson said, please can everyone hold hands, and you had with some bloke standing right, what were you doing? Just
so awkward. I'd gone on my own as well, because I really empathize when you talk about, because my family or my parents are not that into football, so I went to City quite a lot on my own. So I empathise when you talk about going there on your own. So I went on my own to see Michael Jackson, David Blaine, Uri Geller.
And you were holding hands with the guy next to you? That's like me holding Chris's hand. He wouldn't want to do that.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was
like. I wouldn't put it past Chris. He's a nice bloke.
No, I don't think I would want to hold my old man. So he gave a speech just like just unity and coming together, and we'll...
Yeah.
Loving each other and, I don't know.
What's that? Love meets...
Loving each other. It was tied into some charity thing. It was all a bit strange.
Mm.
But Todd, what happened next then? Because it does get interesting.
Yeah, so then I've got a bit of a conspiracy. I feel like we actually... I genuinely feel like we got sorted out by the FA. But... we were about, like I say, a day away from liquidation. Then we magically drew Man United in the cup, in the FA Cup. And we went up to Old Trafford and we drew 0-0. And then we had a home tie where they brought like Ronaldo, Rooney and all that lot, and they beat us. But that money technically saved Exeter for an extended period of time.
Oh, and you think that was organised?
I think so. I honestly think we had Steve Perriman at the time, and... but he was closely linked with people. I'm sure of it.
This is going to make the papers. I really hope it makes it.
It's very strange how we...
This is going to make Devon live.
This is alleged. Alleged. We're not saying this happened. Alleged.
Oh, this is ex-web conspiracy stuff.
But if it's true...
The better, please.
If it is true, I mean, no. I'm forever thankful of Steve Perriman if it is the case, but I just I don't know how we can just magically get that draw and like everything be okay. We're days away from...
Yeah, you're right about the Man United one was just amazing. We played away at Old Trafford and they played Ferguson. And they played the most terrible team and we drew 0-0 and brought them back to St James Park. And then they had to bring out the big guns and we lost 2-0 and Rooney scored the first and Ronaldo scored the second. And that's, as an Exeter City fan, that's what you live for, these big FA Cup draws. Hopefully we win second round this year. Oxford, I don't know if they've played.
Sorry. Was Yuri Geller part of the club at that point?
He'd gone. No. He'd gone.
As he moved on.
So had he joined or was he about to join then? Where was
Yuri? No, he'd gone by then.
So how did he... What were the circumstances of him leaving? Do you know what happened?
No idea.
Just disappeared, didn't he, off the face of the earth?
You know, I emailed him. I emailed him. I've got his email here.
Yeah, try and get him on.
Not interested. I emailed him and asked if he'd come on, but...
Disassociate himself with the club.
Did he actually reply?
Yeah.
Oh, at least he replied.
Yeah. And Michael Jackson and David Blaine. What was he? Did he say anything?
No.
Just hanging around.
Yeah.
I got paranoid the other week that we were turning into Michael Jackson and Yuri Geller.
What?
This podcast. I just felt like it was becoming a bit...
No, I think this is a positive thing.
I hope so.
I definitely think it's a positive thing.
Hope
there's
so.
A big community of Exeter fans and people I know who listen to the podcast and people love it. It's a really positive thing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I have emailed Scott today to ask if there are any underground tunnels. I just want to find...
Why would there be underground tunnels?
I just want to find something magical about the club and do a pod inside one.
You want an inside scoop on something, don't you? Something historical, yeah. Something.
Yeah, I want to. I said to him, "Are there any secret doors that no one's ever been in?" Or...
Well, but no.
No.
Yuri Geller might know a place.
Yeah. Shit. So
I wonder who's got Yuri Geller's rocks.
Yeah,
energy who's rocks,
got crystals. Come on.
Who's got them? That's the real question.
I don't know.
And what bad luck has been bestowed upon them as a result?
I don't know. What team has had a bad luck recently, or what team has he gone and cursed?
Shit. So was it after then that, is it right that Paul Tisdale came along and saved the club? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were a bit more stable when he came, but when he came, that was kind of like the point of which everything started to become just a bit more, the model changed almost, you know? And
he had an ethos, didn't he? He had a way he wanted to bring through young players. He wanted to play football maybe a little bit more traditionally with the ball. He tried to, didn't he, for a while, play with the ball on the floor and try to play nicer football. There was still a little element of lump ball with Tiz in there with the players he's signed. But he really changed everything, the whole philosophy at the club. And Steve Perryman played a big part in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came in while we were in the conference and got back-to-back promotions, didn't he?
Yeah,
and had a brilliant.
So you said last time we were in the League One, we had a nice little season, and then we lost all our players, and then what? Just terrible.
Then 10 years of League Two, yeah.
Fuck off.
Deja vu, David. Yeah. Enjoy this season while it
lasts. We have made a great.
Do you know start. What? What's that?
We have made a good start, as in this year.
So good.
Yeah, very stable. When you look at the other teams that came up as well.
Do you know what I was thinking on Saturday when I was walking to the ground? I'm taking for granted that the ground is packed. And I was thinking of a time when I turn up to the ground and there's like 2,000 people there and I'm still doing this fucking pod. But the feed, I think, who said it to us? I think I went on the Ipswich. Yeah, I went on the Ipswich podcast. And they said, like, it's an amazing stadium, but when it's not doing well, it's just empty. And so I haven't experienced that, yeah, like a half-empty St James's Park, which I guess happens.
Yeah, for a while, I think Exeter Chiefs, when they rose up to being a great rugby team, they took quite a few of the fans who were a bit fair-weather, just like sports fans.
Oh.
And then now Exeter are doing well again, and Chiefs is a bit more expensive. This is my... my idea about it, my theory, that, that actually now those fans have come back to watch Exeter City again.
Right.
So I used to go to the odd game at Chiefs and look around, and those football fans there, and I was thinking, what are you doing here?
Right.
But yeah, I think some of those fans might have come back now.
So I think when I started coming last year, I don't know how many people were coming, maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000.
Yeah.
And now it's just, it's rammed.
Yeah, 6,500 on Saturday, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I always say, I think, like, and especially when I go home, you can just get, you get a feeling that everyone is like excited to be, genuinely excited to be there, excited to see where things go. There seems to be like a real project and a right, we're heading in the right direction. So it's an exciting time to be around. People want to be around. People want to take their kids so their kids can say, oh, we were here during these years, the promotion years. Like, it doesn't happen very often at Exeter City. So
yeah, I did hear one middle-aged man behind me on my right shoulder on Saturday give it the whole, Coldwell, you haven't got a clue. And I was just like, come on. Come on. Like, he's had two and a bit games. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Got to get him on.
You got to get you. First, he's going to wrap the podcast up.
Oh.
No. The worst, though, when we're in League Two and the fans that say, oh, we don't want to go up. We don't want to go up.
Oh. People say, oh, no, it's no. Like that. You're John's like that. It honestly.
No, what?
Yeah, you no. are.
He's not.
You said, I don't want to go out of League One this year. I want to stabilise and go up next year.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Find that quote, find that clip and right, send it to me. I said, I don't think we'll go up.
I'll do it now.
I said, I don't think we'll go up. Go on. Yeah.
You said you don't want to go up. Someone clip it.
And why would I not want to go up? What's the point in playing?
You said that. Someone clip it and put it on Twitter.
I said, I don't think we'll go up.
They said, I want to stabilise.
No, you're waffling.
I'm looking forward to seeing this clip. Or not.
He's going to call me a mug, isn't he?
No, not that far.
I can't be bothered to find the clip.
Yeah, because it doesn't exist.
Do you think we've got a chance? Hang on, I can't help it. Do you think we've got a chance of sneaking in the playoff back door?
You've said
please it. Say yes. Otherwise, what's the point of going?
Why have you said it? With my earlier January prediction, I don't know.
It will all depend on January, won't it? It really will. Like who we can keep.
God, you three seem so sure that we're going to lose our players in January. I haven't heard that before. I thought it was just John's thoughts.
Yeah.
No, because there's two sensible individuals sat here with me. But no,
and if we don't, lose him, then
well, then we'll have a right good crack, won't we?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I was impressed with Caldwell's little substitution on Saturday. It shows me that he's got, you know, he definitely understands like how to maybe change a game of football. That one change just worked. So yeah, why not,
David? You picked up on that, didn't you?
Why not? Mm. Why not?
Anything is possible. It's football. That's the beauty of it.
Honestly, if we go in the playoffs, oh my God.
I just don't want to cry at Wembley again. I think it's still 21 years.
You won't. You'll cry with happiness. And I'll be there and we'll be hugging. It'd be lovely. I'll be recording it behind your back.
What a lot of pain at Wembley.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I cannot. Do you know, I want to experience the home and away, the evening.
Yeah.
Playoff. Oh my God. It must be so stressful.
It's horrible.
Fucking hell. Those,
as much as they're some of the best nights of my life, they're also probably some of the worst. Like, they probably cost me a good year of my life in playoffs. Just like my heartbeat, just 180 beats a minute. Can't calm down. Like, sweating profusely on a Tuesday night.
David, have you ever seen the video of when we played Carlisle?
I was going to say Carlisle was the best.
You need to watch that. Get so
yeah, when you get a minute.
When you get a minute, watch it.
What's the situation? Where
playoff semi-final, 2019, maybe.
2016 or 17.
26, it was 2016. Oh, my goodness gracious.
So sorry, we were in the semi-final, so we had to play them away and then at home to get to Wembley.
Yeah, it was the home leg. I think we had Ollie Watkins at the time. We were I think it was 1-1 first leg. I might be making that up. But anyway, we went ahead by 2 goals.
Do away goals count in the playoffs?
No, they don't count. It's just aggregate.
And then they scored basically 2 late goals.
Oh, my God.
And it looked like it was going to go to extra time. And then we had a lone player called Jack Stacey. And he cut inside from the left. And it's pretty much like what they do now with like the SJP 360. And it's this literal perfect camera angle of Jack Stacey cutting inside on his left and bending it top corner. And it was like the last kick of the game. And the big bank, I think it was an attendance of something stupid, like 7,000, maybe even more. And it's just like one of the best playoff moments. It's unbelievable. It was honestly like undescribable, especially being at the game was just mental.
And then how long between that game and going to Wembley, that match?
2 weeks, I don't know, 2 weeks from that.
And then you lost at Wembley?
Yeah, lost to Blackpool. Yeah.
It's never a long turnaround, is it?
No.
Lost to Blackpool.
Oh my God.
We lost to Blackpool. We had such a good team.
Yeah.
We had Moore Taylor and Ampadu and
Troy Brown at the back as well.
Troy Brown and Ollie Watkins and David Wheeler. And
That sounds amazing, that team.
Yeah.
David Wheeler's goal that day was...
Yeah, and we played Blackpool and none of their fans came because they protested.
Yeah, they boycotted them.
They didn't even want to win the game and they beat us. It was devastating.
Yeah.
And that's when you then lose all your good players.
Yeah.
My God, what a kick in the... Oh. I find it really weird the way... Because I'm not used to it because of United.
Mm.
I find it really weird the way you talk about ex-players from 2 seasons ago. It's because it's such a turnaround of players,
yeah. It
feels. That you've just let them go. They've just moved on. Oh, he was good, but he's gone now.
Yeah.
It sounds so... Oh,
God. Well, that's okay. They're all going to go.
I can't talk about Alex Hartridge like that in 2 years.
No.
It won't even be 2 years, mate. Half a season to a season.
He was meant to play cricket in my league this year and he didn't turn up. I was a bit annoyed. He plays for Dartford.
What league's that?
B division, Devon B, and he plays for Dartington, Totnes, and he he didn't turn up. I was a bit annoyed because they were crap as well. I was ready to give him some. Annoying. And I got Matt Taylor out once, I'll tell you that.
He's meant to be good, isn't he?
Wow. He's fantastic. He's a very, very good player. I got him out once, and then the other time my mate dropped him on like 6 and he went and scored about 130. He was like ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, hitting it everywhere.
Oh, I really want to play cricket. But I feel like
I know nothing about cricket.
I'm over the hill now.
Nothing, not a single thing.
I watched the final, Joe.
What's that?
You watched the final yesterday.
Final of what?
The World Cup.
Do you know what I mean? How can you have a sport where there's a World Cup going on and no one even knows there's a final going on?
I tell you, what's exciting about this World Cup, the football World Cup, the real World Cup, the strange one, is that Exeter City will be playing and the World Cup's going to be going on at the same time.
Why is that?
Too much
football. Why are they having like a 2-week break after next week? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Are Exeter City having a break?
They're playing next week and then they haven't got a fixture then until like the 2nd of December. So they're having...
Oh, I thought I saw nothing.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Gutted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they play Ipswich on Saturday and then the next game is Sheffield. Fucking Barry Bannon.
Player.
we've got a little bit of beef with Barry Bannon, don't we?
Well, I just never heard of him.
Oh,
yeah. You haven't heard of the best player in League One.
Yeah, he's a
player. I have now. Oh, guys, thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Honestly, this is actually the best episode I've ever done in my life.
Right, let's end the pod. How far, you guys, do you think John will go in his career?
John's on our alumni. I've got his poster here to show you, David, because he's on our alumni board. And it says here what he's doing now.
Wow.
Podcaster on My New Football Club podcast. And summariser on BBC. When I talked to him, I thought he was going to go on to uni and do media. And he said, oh, no, I'm going to go and do business. And I'm already doing media, that's what he basically said. So next stop, match of the day, commentating and everything, for sure.
Oh, that makes me happy. And I won't forget any of my lecturers, especially not you two and like Neil and Tony and those kinds of people who played such like a massive impact. Because college is what really, like year 11 I did try, like, you know, try, but like college is what really shaped me and what really made me find what I wanted to do. And I have like you guys to thank for that. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we keep going in the right direction.
Well, thank you very much. I've loved it.
Thanks.
I've loved it.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah, thanks. I was sort of depressing midway through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. We'll go up, believe.
I can't keep up with you. Yeah, thank you, guys. Lovely to meet you.
No worries. Right. Thank you very much.
See you, guys. Thanks for coming. Hopefully see you soon. Bye-bye.